Welcome to another episode of Magic with Zuby. My name is Zuby, and if you're brand new to this show, the show is all about a little well-known card game called Magic the Gathering and a little bit more. On today's episode, we are going to be discussing my top five favorite commons from Outlaws of Thunder Junction. That is the new Magic the Gathering set that has just recently come out, and it is the Wild West Cowboy set. All right, but before we get into that, let's get into a little bit of updates, specifically some Walrus Game Studio updates. So if you're listening to this, the first Walrus Game Studio product is officially out. Yes, that is right. Our book, Darkstorm Adventures, Silver Flames Legacy, is officially out. If you are watching the video right now, I'm holding up the book. This is officially for sale. You can get your copy right now, should you wish to get it. All right. It is available right now on DriveThruRPG, and you can also get the digital copy at DriveThruRPG. We are also working on getting this on Barnes & Noble as well too. Amazon will not be a go, but so this will be available on DriveThruRPG and the physical copy on Barnes and Noble. Links will be in the show notes below. For the book, it is officially on sale for $37.99, and you can use this book for both 5e and Pathfinder, Pathfinder second edition, and inside is full color game and maps, and it's a great adventure that should only take about maybe 4 to 5, maybe 6 sessions, depending on how your play group is. And those are typically about 2 to 3 hour sessions. If you do typically play a little bit more, the sessions may be reduced. Work on book 2 has already begun, and I'm super excited about it. Super pumped that we have our first product out. We've already had like 30 people purchase it, and holy crap, that's just insane to me. We haven't even begun the marketing push for it yet, because I want to wait until we get it on Barnes & Noble as well too, before we start really advertising it out there. So thank you again for the people who've purchased it. You're awesome. And you know, I can't wait to see how this does. I want to get this out in the local community out there where I live. And it's just going to be, I don't know, it's just kind of surreal that, you know, this is happening. This is actually happening. So thank you to that. Thank you to everyone. As far as any updates on Network Simulator, we are like super close to getting the demo done and ready. We're really, really, really hoping to have the demo ready before Cisco Live in the beginning of June, because I would love to meet some people out there and be able to give the demo out to some people and have them actually check it out and play while at Cisco Live. I mean, that would just be phenomenal. But we're trying. We're still working on a pre-production has already begun on some of the early levels, and so we're working on that. So it's going very well, and it's just, holy crap, we have officially broken over 10,000 wish lists, which is just blows my mind. When we get closer to the demo releasing, I will be doing another live Q&A on stream, just to go over the game, the level, like any questions people may have. So it's, you know, it's just some super exciting fun times. That's pretty much it for when it comes to, you know, sorry, I got distracted by magic cards there for a second. That's pretty much it for when it comes down to, you know, Walrus updates. We're working on the second book coming, NetSim, slow and steady, and it's everything's starting to come along. My focus lately has been Darkstorm, because we just released the book, so that's kind of been my big focus right now, getting that out, working on the marketing stuff, public relations type stuff. So that's just awesome. But just some other quick updates. So yeah, I mentioned I'll be at Cisco Live beginning of June. And then the other thing that's been going on, at least just me magic related news, is the magic bug has fully bit me again. I bought a box. I did a live stream opening of opening Lord of the Rings. I'm now building three different Lord of the Rings deck, a Fellowship of the Ring deck where the only creatures are the nine members of the Fellowship. I'm building a Hobbit deck called the Scoring of the Shire, which is just nothing but the hobbits and food tokens. And then I'm building, of course, the Host of Mordor deck where Sauron is the commander, and you know, just anything with the Nazgul, the, you know, Witch King and Gothmog and the Balrog and all that stuff. So it's pretty fun. I'm still working on the deck list for that. So, you know, hoping to share that soon on my Twitter. So I guess let's get right into it. So Outlaws of Thunder Junction is the brand new Magic the Gathering set. And I instead, so what I used to do in the past was do like a full set review, like these, this is the, my review of all the white cards, of all the blue cards, all the black cards, all that. And I'm like, that was exhausting. And it was a lot of work to edit all that. So we're doing, I want to slowly sort of get back similar into that, but we're going to be doing, you know, just my top five favorites of commons, uncommons, rares, mythic rares, and just go from there. So there's going to be, so this will be a shorter episode than normal because we're just going to go over like my top five favorite commons. And then the next episode is just going to be top five, you know, favorite uncommons and so on and so forth. So I'm going to try to record these, you know, within around the same time period so I can just release, you know, two of them a week, something like that. But yeah, so that's the idea. And the way that I'm sort of basing on how these are my personal top five favorite is whether or not I would use them in Commander or want to play them in Limited as well too, like in Draft or Sealed, which I didn't get to go to a pre-release for Outlaws of Thunder Junction. There's just my local Magic scene, it's dead. It's completely dead. You know, we do have an amazing new local game shop around us, but it is primarily D&D and Warhammer, which, you know, hey, great, D&D for me, that's awesome. You know, I'm not complaining about that. It's just there's like zero Magic, and you know, no one ever plays Magic there. Very rarely do they. And it's like, and so there's like no pre, so if I really wanted to go to a pre-release, I'd have to travel like an hour out of my way, and I'm like, I don't want to do that, to be honest. It's not only, and not that I'm not excited about this set, but it's not a set where it's like, I got to drop everything and, you know, really be a part of it. You know, it wasn't like that. So anyways, so let's get into my top five commons of Outlaws of Thunder Junction. And if you're looking at the video, you'll notice on the top right there, the card has shown up. So we're just going to go over the top five favorite commons of Outlaws of Thunder Junction. The first one being Consuming Ashes for two and double black. It is an instant. Exile target creature. If it had mana value three or less, Surveil 2. And Surveil 2 is basically Scry, but instead of putting it on the bottom of your library, you put it in your graveyard. So not only is this a killer card in Limited, really great removal, but holy crap, even in Commander, this is super useful. Especially if you're playing any kind of graveyard shenanigans like Muldrotha or, you know, Yarrick or whatever, Sultai or, you know, mono black graveyard shenanigans deck you're kind of playing, this is a perfect card. You know, not only does it get rid of a pesky target, but, you know, you get the chance for surveilling too. You can't go wrong with this card at all. Like, it's premium removal if you're drafting those colors, or really, you know, you want an inexpensive removal for your EDH deck as well too. So I mean this is in no particular order, but if I had to pick an order, like, this would almost be number one for me personally. Next up, we've got Stagecoach Security for four and a white. It is a human soldier creature that is a 4/5. When this enters the battlefield, creatures you control get +1/+1 and gain vigilance until end of turn. And you can plot for three and a white. And if just to reiterate what plot is, it is a new mechanic from Outlaws of Thunder Junction, where you may pay 3 and a white and exile this card from your hand, cast it as a sorcery on a later turn without paying its mana cost. Plot only as a sorcery. So this is a great kind of card in Limited. This is like your basic, you know, go wide type beater card in Limited, where as soon as you play it, you know, not only you're going to buff your creatures, you no longer have to tap your creatures, and it really kind of forces your opponent to think, and okay, what am I going to do here? How am I going to, you know, defend against this? So I love these kind of cards in Limited. These are some of my favorite because go wide strategies are usually pretty good depending on the format. But you know, I love these kind of cards, and if I'm in this color or wanting that go wide type strategy, this is definitely a card that I would pick. Next up, we've got Bridled Bighorn for 3 and a white. It is a sheep mount creature that's a 3/4, has vigilance, which I love vigilance. Whenever this attacks while saddled, create a 1/1 white sheep creature token and you saddle for 2. So saddle is pretty similar to crew for when you're crewing the artifact vehicles. The difference being is when you saddle a creature, usually it'll do an extra effect. Since it's already a creature anyway that you can attack with, saddling it will give it an extra effect. And this extra effect, once again, I love those go wide strategies in Limited, and this just helps you go wide even more. Just creates those tokens. I have a thing for token decks, and I love tokens. One of my favorite EDH deck is Maha, and just going wide with tokens, then dropping a Craterhoof Behemoth and swing and win. So once again, I mean, how can I resist a card like this if I'm in these colors? It's a no-brainer for me. Next up, we've got Geyser Drake. It is a 2 and a blue creature that is a 2/3, has flying, and as long as it's not your turn, spells you cast cost 1 less to cast. So, great card in Limited. I mean, not only is it a flyer that can evade creatures and get in over to your opponent, but, you know, help you, commit crimes easier. That is right, because there is the crime mechanic in this set where pretty much a crime is anytime you're interacting with your opponent. So like if you're playing, you know, the classic Is It, where, you know, do a lightning bolt-esque type card, or, you know, you're playing blue-black or it's some creature removal, you know, helps these instants or sorceries just cost less, and that's pretty valuable and limited. So love these kind of cards. I always look for them in my draft or sealed. Great card, and also not bad art too. I kind of like it. And last but not least, for our top 5 commons, it is Jailbreak Scheme for 1 blue. It is a sorcery, but it has spree where you can choose one or more additional costs. You can +3 put a 1/1 counter on target creature. It can't be blocked this turn, which is amazing. Great way to finish a player. Or pay +2 and target artifact or creature's owner puts it on top or bottom of their library. Another great thing if you want to, you know, get rid of a pesky creature out there on your opponent. So these kind of cards are always great. Like these are the kind of, you know, hopefully a finisher type card where, you know, You just need to get that extra bit of damage in to your opponent, and oh hey, now my creature is unblockable, and oh, your other creature that could possibly block it or do something, we're gonna just put it on the bottom of your library, or make you put it on top, you know, whichever. So love these kind of cards, and the spree mechanic I kind of really like. At first I was a bit hesitant on liking it because it just felt like, you know, extra kicker costs, but in a sense, you know, it allows you to be a little bit more flexible on what you want to do, because hey, let's say you only have 3 mana but you need to get rid of that pesky card, you know, boom, here you go, 3 mana, and there you go. Or, you know, you want to pay the full 6 mana, which is not very hard to do in Limited, and you know, now you've got 2 kind of effects that could really help you out. So I've liked the spree cards I've seen so far, and Jailbreak Scheme was my favorite one out of the commons. I will say, just overall, out of all the common cards in this set, it was kind of hard to pick five of them. I mean, commons are always hard to pick, right? Because commons aren't normally very good in the grand scheme of things. But this set did feel a little bit harder than normal for trying to pick some of my favorite commons. And, you know, it obviously, you know, didn't get much easier as I went up the rarities, but it got easier as I went up the rarities. It was just there were so many more uncommons and rares that I liked, which you'll see in the next few episodes. So there you have it. Those are my top five favorite commons in Outlaws of Thunder Junction. You know, I'd love to hear from you all. Like, what are your favorite commons in Outlaws of Thunder Junction? You know, let me know in, you know, the comments below, or just hit me up on Twitter at Magic with Zuby and let me know, because it's you know, awesome. I'm on there all the time. Probably I'm just still a little addicted to Twitter or X, whatever the hell you want to call it now. So there you go. That's the end of the show here. Hope you all enjoyed listening and or watching, and I appreciate each and every one of you. And I will remind you to go and purchase my first adventure module book, Darkstorm Adventure, Silver Flames Legacy, Escape to Stangate. It is amazing. Thank you all for listening and watching, and I hope you all have a great night.